Oh boy, am I glad you're here today. We're going to be talking about a deeper dive on what happened with four major decisions in the courts. You know, there's only three ways this battle over America is being fought. It's in litigation. That's the courts. It's in legislation. That's the election. That's why you're watching the courts and you're watching the election. This is just it. But then where are you getting information? It's the battle of public opinion. You get it from the left. It's a spin going one way. You get it from the right. It's a spin the other way. Litigation, legislation, the power of public opinion. And so right now you got the Supreme Court. I want to do a deeper dive on how the three liberal justices disagreed with the other six and said what they had to say. All nine agreed that Colorado's out of their mind, but they agreed for different reasons. You need to know the distinctions. Also, Arizona says you got to have identification if you're going to vote. They can't agree on what the form looks like to fill it out. Texas, do the police have the right to protect you and get rid of someone who's an illegal, doesn't belong here? Well, the Supreme Court said, hold off on that. We want to wait a couple of weeks before we hit that subject. What's going on with that? And then in Atlanta, Fannie has got herself in a bit of trouble. You know why? Because it's been exposed that she's been doing some witness tampering. Now, the case is already closed, but witness tampering evidence just came out, and it doesn't bode. On every front, it looks like good news for us. I want to tell you something else. For the last 6 months, I've been talking about gold and silver, and I'm so relieved. I talked to a banker friend of mine yesterday. He said, you know, you should feel comfortable about what you're telling people. Because in October of 2023, or was it 2022, Mercedes? We were looking at the price of gold. 2023.
A year ago.
And we just compared it to where the price is today. Mm-hmm. From October till today, I'm in March right now. It's been a 12% increase. Mm-hmm. Now listen, man, 12% in just a couple of months. That's huge. I would love 12% for a year. 12% over the last couple of months. I want you, if you only have a little bit to invest, I've got a solution for you. Used to be you had to have a lot of money to do this. I'm working out a solution. Go to lancewillner.com/gold. And I'm going to talk to you about any amount that you have. I want to help you be able to get it. I'm talking like 12% increase over the last couple of months. That's significant, folks. Go to lancewillner.com/gold, just G-O-L-D, and give me your contact information. Read a little report I got for you. And we're going to help you find out what to do. And you're going to have a strategy this year. It's going to give you peace of mind. All right, let's get into today's wild show. God bless you. Today, I want to cover the subject which everybody has kind of been talking about, which is going on. What's going on with the courts? What's going on with the courts? Well, the left is losing their flipping mind because, you see, they impose their agenda a couple of ways. They bring in millions of people from other countries who they set up to vote for them, or they move them into districts, which you're paying for, which increases their proportionality of representation in Congress, which I think is a crazy law that says, bring those millions in, put them in my backyard. Now I get two districts I can put in Congress. So even if these people can't vote, they represent a population that I'm responsible for, which is a dumb rule. They should just stick with the voting population. Nevertheless, the left will do it by litigation and lawfare. If they can't get it done by legal voting, they'll get it done by illegal voting. If they can't get it done by illegal voting, they'll get it done through the courts. They'll have a Soros that'll buy somebody's way in. Well, you know, I never paid attention to this before. The district attorney in L.A., the district attorney Alvin Bragg in New York, the district attorney down there in Fannie, you know, what's her face down there in Georgia. What do you end up with? You end up with the tools of the left's ideology to go after prosecuting what they can't get done in the ballot box. They'll get done through the courts. So literally, you've got litigation, legislation, and the power of a public opinion. Remember those three things. It's a great rhyme. If Kim Clement was alive, he and I would have had this done musically by now, wrapping it out. It's litigation, legislation, and the power of public opinion. So the media pundits, those trotting out, you know, reliably, you know, ideologically warped voices. I don't care if they're left wing or right wing. They don't really think a new thought. They just process everything through the grid they've already got. If there was a lunar landing, if there was a Martian landing on Earth, if artificial intelligence showed up, they would interpret it all through the ideological grid because that's how they're designed. They just don't look at something objectively. They look at it through a lens. And so that's the power of public opinion. You got that from teachers in academia. You got it in Hollywood. You got it in the New York Times. So they'll get their David French and their other guys that are reliably, noodly and messed up on all things conservative and evangelical. But they speak as the evangelical authority. And they will criticize the courts, of course, when the decision goes against the left. And that's what makes them reliable public figures that are constantly quoted. All that to say, I want to give you the news about the trench warfare of what really happened in this decision. You see, because the 9-0 decision that overturned the Colorado Supreme Court, basically what happened there was four Republicans, which were really rhinos that hate Trump. Here's how the left does it. Find me four Republicans that don't like Trump. Get them on the January 6th committee. Get them in Colorado. Now, I got two Democrats. That makes a group of six. Bipartisan. Because there's two Democrats, four Republicans that hate Trump. And let's sue Colorado Secretary of State, who, by the way, is another one of those Soros left-wing radical individuals that was put up there by the radical left. And so they all commiserate. It's like, hey, get me those four Republicans that hate Trump. I got two Democrats. And the Secretary of State basically has a meeting. And they decide, you go ahead and sue me, and I'm going to fast-track this and get this to the Supreme Court of Colorado. We're going to get Trump off the ballot, baby. So they sue her. She says, oh, that's interesting. I think we should fast-track this to litigation. Takes it to the Supreme Court, where you got the same kind of eccentricities out there in Colorado that you got in the New York judge there, you know, who has the $400 million fine on Trump. And they said, we believe that Donald Trump is guilty of insurrection. No, nobody's not guilty of insurrection. Nobody said he's guilty of insurrection. No, nobody's even proven that as a case in court yet. We're not even sure there was an insurrection. I mean, not really. There's a whole lot of debate about that. That's the brand. That's the label. That's the power of the public PR machine. We don't know about that deal. But what we do know is that the Colorado Supreme Court, with its liberal majority, said, we're taking Trump off the ballot. So it goes to the Supreme Court. You guys know the story. I just wanted to get the facts behind how it got to the Supreme Court so you understand how the game is played. It's local, local, local. That's why you all got to get involved with local. Now, here's what is interesting to me. Nine opinions come out. I mentioned David French earlier because, of course, the New York Times quotes him on how the Supreme Court just erased part of the Constitution. What did they erase? The part of the Constitution that goes back to the 1860s, which was designed to keep Southerners who participated in the revolt from rising up to political status in their states to interfere with the federal government's continuing emancipation of the South, particularly where the slave issue was concerned. Basically, it was designed to keep former Confederate populist soldiers and generals from running for office and interfere with the federal government's program to redemptively heal America. Not the same thing as an election protest in the United States by a million people that believe they were ripped off in their vote and that were encouraged to walk into the Capitol where selfies were taken, etc. So anyway, three liberal justices, Sotomayor, Sagan, and Jackson. This is where the deep dive is, people. Pay attention. Stay with me. It's worth the exercise. Three of the nine judges on the Supreme Court said, we agree with the rest in a 9-0 decision regarding Colorado, but we disagree with the argument. This is important. The liberal justices disagreed with the majority's decision, saying that this decision represents all the states. In fact, they said, no. It really just represents Colorado. Now, here's the part that's kind of weird. They would have avoided interpreting the constitutional issue altogether and would rather have ruled that only Colorado was barred from disqualifying Trump, which, what an annoyance. That would have left the door open if the case had been argued differently for them to say, well, Maine might have an argument that's different than Colorado. I mean, the states might have different arguments. The point is, no state can take over a federal election for the country. You can't have one little state with a couple of warped litigators on the bench overturning, because what happens is you get one or two states, they could throw off the numbers for the whole country. You have to have a balance. For instance, when it comes down to like a Kennedy-Nixon thing, if you throw Kennedy off the ballot because you're a strong Republican county with, you know, or you throw Nixon off because you're, you know, or Kennedy off because you're Republican and Nixon off because you're Democrat, well, you just screwed up the stability of the election for the whole nation. But still, the three justices that are liberal, maybe it was a 9-0 vote, it sends a message, but they're saying they would have preferred to have had this a little bit less generic and only as a per state. You know, they want to judge each state in its own merits. So, in other words, the majority's ruling deleted all the other efforts to bar Trump from ballots in all the other states, not just Colorado. That may seem sensible to you, but didn't make sense to the liberal justices. Doesn't matter, because that decision puts the chill on everything they're doing to destroy the guy. It's not working, and you could see the meltdown. So I gave a bit of a long diatribe there for 7 or 8 minutes. So Mercedes, any thoughts on the big ruling?
Yeah, I mean, didn't they also say in there that essentially it really comes down to Congress handling this issue, that at the end of the day, this really isn't a decision for the court. If you wanted to remove somebody from the ballot, it needs to be done through Congress. Congress has to vote on that, hey, he was an insurrectionist. This did happen. Pretty sure that was in there as well.
Yeah, so. And so Jimmy Reskin, it was, you know, I don't know, why does Reskin always wear that hat? Is he particular, like, is that a style thing or a religious thing?
I have no idea.
I mean, I'm probably offending somebody, but I mean, he stands out because he's always wearing something on his head. But maybe it's like my dad was a Shriner. Maybe he was a Shriner or something like that. Maybe he participates in the Mummers Parade in New York. But he's classically, here's what Reskin is saying. Oh my God, these guys are like, you know what? You just have to walk by faith and not by sight, because no matter every victory you get, these guys are like the devil himself will just say something. So it's like, I wouldn't get too confident if I was you. Sure, the Supreme Court may have decided that he could run. Sure, maybe the American people might elect Trump. But you just watch how we screw that up for you. If we can't block the goal, we're going to get him to do a retake on the shot. Here's what the Congress is saying. The Supreme Court has ruled that it's the Congress's role to determine the federal election laws, and not any state can affect the federal election. Therefore, the Supreme Court kind of punted, it's the Congress that decides that. You can't do that with your judges. Mm-hmm. Reskin says, oh, wait till we get the majority in Congress. Come January next year, when we have the majority, oh boy, we're going to go revisit this ruling and overturn, basically, Trump's victory by saying the Congress has a right to determine who's on the ballot. Now we're kicking. Can they do that? Can they kick him off the ballot retroactively? I don't think so. But his argument is they will nullify his legitimacy by being the Congress that says he's illegitimate because he ran as an insurrectionist. And we now have decided as Congress that is illegal. Hey, bring in whoever's running, whatever it is, not Nancy Pelosi, but
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley whoever the heck. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just wanted to give you that little agita. I did that on Flashpoint the other night, which is a Christian broadcast, and it just brought the monk down, brought the whole house down. It was like so negative.
What did you do, that whole riff there?
No, I just pointed out the fact that they're planning on nullifying. There's a big victory thought about what's going to happen with the court's victory.
I'm just saying
saying they're going to do is they're going to take it back from them. They're going to rob you of that president.
But that's an assumption that they would win the House and the Senate and then do something like that. But then Trump would
the
win.
So they only have to do the House. According to the Supreme Court, they only have to win the House.
I don't think they're
going to
win the House when everybody's going to come out and vote. If Trump wins and we all vote Trump, they're certainly not going to win the House.
Well, you heard it from Mercedes Sparks, ladies and gentlemen. I'm with her. Let's not let them win the House. Let's have a full House, all three. Senate, Congress, Executive Branch. We'll be right back. America is in an absolute crisis, and destiny is going to be determined over the next couple of months. And guess what? You are going to be a participant in shaping what happens in America. I want to invite you to the call to courage. Courage is contagious. Persecution is not something that you should ever let keep you from preaching or proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Go to thecouragetour.com, where you can join Mario Morello and me in an explosive experience where the power of God, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to be experienced by thousands of people just like you, looking for the move of God and believing that God can save America. Mario, what are your thoughts about the Courage Tour?
It is a divine strategy. God has chosen locations that will directly affect the election. This is going to stave off the corruption we had in the last round, because it's going to be a supernatural event. Whenever Lance and I have worked together, whenever we've teamed up, it's like the old adage, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. What God does in our events together is amazing. This one is taking one event that was successful on its own, another event that was successful on its own, and blending them together. That's why the Courage Tour should never happen without you. If you love America, if you believe in the supernatural power of God, if you ever said, I believe that revival is coming, then you've committed yourself to be a part of this great miracle that's unfolding. Go and register at the website right now.
TheCourageTour.com. TheCourageTour.com. We're focusing on 7 battleground states, 19 key counties, and we need you to join us. God bless you. Welcome back to the Lance Wilmau Show with Mercedes Sparks. Now here we are. What? What's
so
the problem?
Like, welcome back to the Lance Wilmau Show with Mercedes Sparks.
Well, I have to say, with Mercedes Sparks, I don't want to have, you know, agita like, oh, it's all about you.
No, it's so funny.
Well, all right, so Mercedes Sparks is here, of course. Now, I'm going to go down to the next ruling. We're talking about court cases. We're going a deep dive, people. This is stuff you don't normally get during the week when you get the 30,000-foot analysis. The majority, the Supreme Court, you know, I think they're under political pressure a lot. And they are, ever since Chucky Schumer told them, you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind, baby, and had a little protest outside the Supreme Court. Should have been censored for that. Should have all gone to his house. You sow the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind, Chucky. Bunch of MAGA people with insurrection.
That's Chuck Schumer's voice? Is that what you're saying right now?
That's my voice right now for Chucky.
I like it.
But lucky Chucky. All right, so I would like to say that there was another Supreme Court ruling that came down, but because of political pressure, they couldn't. I think the conservatives are nervous up there. You ever notice how conservatives are nervous and Democrats are never nervous? Democrats would just ferociously Trump right over. Look at Fannie Willis down there. She's probably raging that things might not be going her way. She's not sitting there going, I wonder what's going to happen, wringing her hands. That's more like a conservative. We go, what's going to happen, you know? What happens with the Supreme Court, I'm concerned, is that they could not deliver both the Supreme Court shutdown of the Colorado, get Trump off the ballot, and look at the second case they had to decide on that came out. Does Texas have a right to protect itself from cartel foreign invaders? Can the police, for instance, grab you when you come over the border, check you out, and go, wait a second, you're not a Texan, you're not even an American, and boot them out? Well, you'd be surprised. The Democrats are so entrenched on opening the borders to foreign invaders, terrorists, cartels, predators, matters not to them. Get them into America. So the Supreme Court had to make a decision on what to do with Texas law that allows police to arrest and detain. Not even kick them out. Arrest and detain. Hey, you don't belong here. Lock them up. Find out who they are. Do a background check. Oh, this guy's killed 8 people in El Salvador. Oh, well, maybe we don't want him driving an Uber with your daughter in it. So the gist is, Texas passed this new law authorizing local police to arrest And they went one step. There it is. They wanted to deport. Well, the Department of Justice opposed the law. The Biden Department of Justice opposed the law. They don't want local police arresting and deporting illegals. It takes a lot of energy to get them into this country. So they sued, and the first federal judge found the law unconstitutional. Yesterday, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the desperately needed law and reversed the trial judge. So the Department of Justice filed an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court. All right, now we're in the big game here. Department of Justice says, we've got to keep these illegals in. Who are those police anyway that they could detain and deport a criminal? Which immediately agreed to hear the case. But I'm going to say this. In light of the fact that they disappointed all those Democrats and all the media and all the left-wing activists because they overturned the Colorado, you know, ballot thing, they made a decision to temporarily stay the law for a few days until March 13th, a temporary stay. Now, what's a stay? A stay means, well, we're not going to overturn. We're not going to interfere with this thing yet. We're not going to get everyone riled up and the police start arresting illegals and everybody has to reverse course. So they can't, the police can't arrest them. They can't deport them. They can't do their job to protect you. But it isn't a permanent decision. The Supreme Court simply said, I think, not both in the same day. Because you know why? The Jamie Reskins of this world and the David Frenches of this world and the Rachel Maddows and the academics and all of the, you know, the pundits, they will tell you, this is what happens when you have Republicans on the Supreme Court instead of democracy-loving Americans. Democracy is under threat because the Supreme Court, these poor conservative justices, they're trying to find a way to always give you a win, give us a win, give you a win, give us a win. It's sad. The left doesn't think that way. They think, pack the court, win, win, win. So the reality is the Supreme Court will have to provide a decision. When? They're going to start listening, I guess, March 13th. They'll start taking the court again. But they're waiting for things to dial down.
Well, we had a proposition at the polling place this week where it was Prop 2. It says Texas should create a border protection unit and deploy additional state law enforcement and military forces to seal the border, to use physical force to prevent illegal entry and trafficking, and to deport illegal aliens to Mexico or to their nations of origin.
Let me tell you something, folks. Those of us that are, but now I realize it's a Saturday show, but those of us that had the Super Tuesday voting here, we have all these propositions in Texas. They're hilarious. They are so Texas. I mean, you would never see this in New York, New Jersey, or California, but it's kind of like proposition. Every citizen should be armed with a gun, ready to form a militia and evict a criminal illegal alien or, you know, or shoot on sight or what. They have like around a dozen of these. And I'm looking at it going, well, I, you know what? I understand where they're coming from, but I'm not so sure that they have the authority of law because of this stuff.
Yeah.
They have to work their way up. Then they get contested, and then the higher courts knock them down. But boy, at least you're getting the Texas public opinion going on here.
Yeah. I mean, I think like yes and no. I think a state has its right to defend itself. And I mean, you've got guys like our governor, you've got DeSantis that are shipping illegals to major cities. And now it's like you're feeling it, right? I mean, there's people in New York that they're putting illegals in hotels, yet the homeless Americans aren't being taken care of.
They're giving the illegals credit cards.
Yeah.
They're giving illegals credit cards and hotels.
Yeah.
Basically, they're treating them better than the American vets who fought and were injured and are still psychologically
scarred. Yeah, well, just Americans. They don't have to be vets. It's like normal Americans.
You're right. Why justify it saying Americans?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in a terrific election news, the Associated Press ran a story. You might have missed this, but it's Arizona. Arizona, ever since what they did with Carrie Lake was a big problem. I want to get through all the, I'm going to get out of this real fast. I just want to cover the courts because the courts are so serious. Arizona has a new voting law that requires proof of citizenship. And that proof of citizenship is not a discrimination. Can you imagine the Democrats are saying, you're discriminating when you require me to identify who I am? No, we're not. Yeah, we are. We're discriminating as to whether or not you're an American or not. So, but it was decided that it was not discriminatory in an illegal sense when it requires proof of citizenship. The only problem is they couldn't really agree on the form that the law requires the citizens to complete. So it's not clear whether they could fix that before the next election. This is a kind of a tragic situation. Before we pop the champagne cork, consider this. Arizona says you need an ID to vote, but they can't agree on what the form looks like. Lord help us. The New York Post ran a similarly surprising story last week. Headline, judges improperly enhanced sentences of more than 100 January 6 rioters. The appeals court rules. Now, why is that? Well, they decided that the prosecutors were routinely asking the D.C. courts to enhance, maximize, double, go to the full sentencing power. This person, this grandma, was taking selfies in there. But technically, she was disrupting a judicial proceeding. That's like interrupting a court. And so if you were interrupting a court on purpose to keep them from executing their, well, give them the maximum. Give that grandma what's coming to her. So they gave the maximum sentences. However, this particular ruling, Mercedes, says that actually, it wasn't a judicial proceeding. It was a legislative proceeding. They were counting electors. It wasn't a court interrupted. It was a legislative gathering. Not the same. And the court said, yeah, you're right. So now they got to go back and reevaluate all those sentences and come up with reduced criteria. So that's moving in the right direction.
Wow.
So I just want you to know that if you want to see the finger of God moving the United States, you're going to see it like with the Fannie Willis situation. She's in some real hot water because the word is out. This judge there, I wasn't confident he was going to come. I mean, he let her go on and on in the court. He didn't shut her down. I was worried he was going to be another intimidated guy. But you see, something came up recently. Most of you might have missed. And that is it exploded in the news, but you might have missed it, is that there's a woman who's going to explain under oath that Fannie Willis was actually tampering with testimonies and warning people to keep their mouths shut about her relationship. And there's going to be some testimony coming forth saying, I was warned not to say anything. That's called tampering with the witness. Now she's got a different problem than spending money with her honey and going around the country, while she's trying to prosecute Trump. She's in bigger trouble for telling people, you better shut your mouth and not talk about my relationship with him. So there's going to be testimony on the witness stand, which is going to be not so good. Now, the case is already closed. What does it mean? Well, it means that the judge has a little bit more realization that if he rules in favor of letting her continue the prosecution, there's a good probability that this is going to pop up as new evidence of jury tampering or tampering of the witness, rather. So, ba-boom, ba-bing. I'm giving that to you guys because I want to give you a little bit more of the granular dimension of the warfare. If you're a praying Christian, it's good to pray. But I personally don't like it when Christians who are praying people oversimplify the complex and don't do the hard work of understanding what to pray for, how to pray, and how God's moving. Because God's moving in these situations, and that's worth celebrating. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. I wanted to take a minute to talk about one of my great heroes of the faith, which is Mike Lindell. What's really cool about Mike is it's not just the pillow. It's the fact that the guy makes really cool products. For instance, I start my day off with a My Coffee. I had a cup of coffee the other day here in the office, and I said, no, I want that. It wasn't like Starbucks. It tastes better. And it was Mike's coffee. I said, what is it? They go, Mike Lindell's coffee. I said, my gosh, get a bunch of my coffees. Now, the best way to start the day is you put on these slippers, right, and have your My Coffee. If you've not worked with these slippers yet, I'm not kidding you. There's a special kind of a design that Mike has put into these with four layers of cushion with a solid sole and a fur interior. I call it my sip and slip strategy. I start my day off by slipping on my slippers and having a sip of Mike's coffee. But you know what else I'm curious about now? Because I've got to check out the 2.0 pillow. The 2.0 pillow actually is designed so that it distributes the heat of your own head, your face, you know, you're lying there, and it makes it so the pillow's always cool. Now, I like that, because I wake up in the middle of the night and have to flip over my pillow because it gets hot. Mites solve that problem. I want you to go to mypillow.com, promo code Lance, because you can get a discount that I've set up for the pillows, for the coffee, and for the slippers. And do it today. You'll be happy.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.